Every knock is a boost, part two. The ministry of Paul. Moshe Rosen, the founder of Jews for Jesus, was very special. He was very wise. He was an activist for the proclamation of the gospel, the good news about Messiah. Moshe understood that followers of the Messiah who proclaim the message about the Messiah will experience controversy. Controversy is to be expected. It is not to be feared. In fact, it is to be welcomed. One of the sayings that Moshe frequently used was, every knock is a boost. Attacks hurt, but they also help. Yeshua himself was very controversial. We considered that last week. God used the controversies Yeshua was involved in to advance the gospel and to advance the kingdom of God. Yeshua told us, his disciples, his followers, that we should be the same way, courageous and controversial. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. That is courage, that is controversy. And Yeshua warned us that if we faithfully followed him the way we should, we would cause controversy. And we would experience backlash. We would suffer for it. But that would also enable us to impact religious and political leaders that we might not otherwise be able to reach. He said, you will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. Rabbi Paul understood this. And like his Lord, he caused a lot of controversy practically everywhere he went. In fact, one way of understanding the last half of the book of Acts is by focusing on the controversies caused by Paul and how God used those controversies to advance the gospel and to advance the kingdom of God. And that's what I want to do this morning, take us through a brief tour through the last half of the book of Acts, focusing on Paul and his controversies. Now, I'm going to ask you not to do something which is rare for a rabbi to do, and that is don't look at your Bibles while I am giving this message. I just want you to listen. By the time you catch up to where I am, you're going to be moving on. I'm going through this fairly rapidly. Just listen, focus, pay attention, okay? Acts 13. Paul, after teaching in the synagogue on a Sabbath in Pisidian Antioch and receiving a good reception, returned the next Sabbath, and almost the entire city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jewish leaders who did not believe saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying, and they heaped abuse on him. But every knock is a boost. Then the word of the Lord spread through the whole region, and more controversy ensued. The Jewish leaders who did not believe incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. Controversy. Acts 14. God uses controversy to advance the good news. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jewish people and Greeks believed. And controversy ensued. The Jewish people who refused to believe stirred up the other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Yeshua-rejecting Jews, others with the apostles. Controversy. There was a plot afoot among both Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them, kill them. But they found out about it and fled to Lystra and Derbe. God uses controversy to advance the kingdom of God. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth. He had never walked. He listened to Paul, and as he was speaking, Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes. The priest of Zeus brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. Barnabas and Paul had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some Jewish people came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. And so, in a very short time, Paul went from being considered a god worthy of worship to being someone considered worthy of death. That's pretty controversial. Acts 16. In Philippi, Paul and his team were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of them, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her, which wound up causing another controversy. When the owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, not glad that the evil spirit had left her, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them before the magistrates. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods and thrown into prison. However, every knock is a boost. About midnight in prison, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Those prisoners were hearing the gospel because of this controversy. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The Philippian jailer thought the prisoners had escaped, and he would be held responsible and probably executed, and was about to commit suicide. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself! We are all here." The jailer rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" One of the great questions that people can ask. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Yeshua, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house, and they believed. Their salvation was the result of this controversy. Acts 17, when Paul and his companions came to Thessalonica, as was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures. Some of the Jewish people were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. But the other Jewish people were jealous and stirred up controversy. They rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there's another king, one called Yeshua." Oh, these men are traitors. Troublemakers around the world, traitors. When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Talk about being controversial. The believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. But when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was now preaching the word of God at Berea, some of them went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. More controversy, which advanced the message about Yeshua in Berea. Every knock is a boost. Acts 18, more controversy. Paul went to Corinth, major city. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Some of the people in the synagogue opposed Paul and became abusive. But every knock is a boost. So Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. Later, the Jewish people of Corinth, who did not believe, made a united attack on Paul and brought him to the place of judgment. This was another knock and another boost. Gallio, proconsul of Achaia, major political person, refused to get involved in a religious dispute among the Jewish people. Then the crowd turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue leader, and beat him. It could very well be the same Sosthenes who became a believer and wrote 1 Corinthians along with Paul. Acts 19, more controversy. In Ephesus, another major city, Paul entered the synagogue and boldly spoke there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. But every knock is a boost. Paul remained in Ephesus for 2 years, long time, preaching and teaching. And God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, and the word of the Lord spread widely. God uses controversy to advance the gospel in the kingdom of God. About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. A silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, believed that Paul was bad for business and was undermining the worship of Artemis. He spoke to his fellow craftsmen, who became furious and began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Soon the whole city was in an uproar. The people seized two of Paul's traveling companions, and all of them rushed into the theater together. The assembly was in confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Things got worse when Alexander started to speak. When the crowd realized he was a Jewish man, they all shouted in unison for about 2 hours, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Finally, the city clerk was able to quiet the crowd and dismiss the assembly. Now that is quite a controversy. It impacted the whole city of Ephesus. After years of serving the Lord in the provinces of Asia and Greece, Paul decided to go up to Jerusalem. God repeatedly warned him that if he did, hardships and prison awaited him. Nevertheless, the rabbi believed it was the right thing to do. Acts 21, Paul arrived in Jerusalem. Some Jewish people from the province of Asia, where many of Paul's controversies took place, saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Fellow Israelis, help us. This is the man who teaches everyone everywhere against our people and our law and this place. And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple and defiled this holy place." Those were all false accusations, every one of them. But they created a huge controversy, a critical controversy, that set off a chain reaction of events that affected Paul's life for years to come, and which enabled him to bring the message about Messiah to many more people, including some of the most powerful people among the Jewish people and in the Roman Empire. The whole city of Jerusalem was aroused. The whole city of Jerusalem was aroused. Talk about being controversial. And the people came running from all directions. Seizing Paul, they dragged him from the temple and tried to kill him. The commander of the Roman troops took some officers and soldiers and ran down to the crowd. When the rioters saw the commander and his soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. The commander came up and arrested Paul and ordered him to be bound with two chains and ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. As the soldiers were about to take Paul into the barracks, he asked the commander to speak to the people. Paul wanted to use this controversial situation to tell the people of Jerusalem about Yeshua. Every knock is a boost. Acts 22, after receiving the commander's permission to speak to the people, Paul stood on the steps and began telling the crowd his story, how Yeshua revealed himself to Paul. However, before he finished his story, the crowd went berserk. And Paul had to be taken into the barracks. The next day, the commander released Paul and ordered the chief priests and all the members of the Sanhedrin, Israel's ruling body, which included Pharisees and Sadducees, to assemble. Then he brought Paul and had him stand before the chief priests and the members of the Sanhedrin. Acts 23. God uses controversy. Paul, wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, descended from Pharisees. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided because the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees believe all these things. And of course, the Pharisees were right. There was a great uproar, and some of the Torah teachers who were Pharisees stood up and started defending Paul. The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. Talk about being controversial. The commander ordered the troops to go down and take Paul away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. Some of Paul's enemies then plotted to kill him. The son of Paul's sister heard of this plot, informed the commander, who sent Paul to Felix, the Roman governor, who was in Caesarea north along the coast. Acts 24, every knock is a boost. 5 days later, the high priest Ananias went down to Caesarea with some of the elders and brought their charges against Paul before the governor. This enabled Paul an opportunity to defend himself and proclaim the gospel to these powerful leaders because of the controversy in Jerusalem, which resulted in Paul's arrest. Paul remained under arrest for the next 2 years. During that time, he was able to speak to Felix, the Roman governor, and his Jewish wife, Drusilla, about the messiahship of Yeshua. Felix was then succeeded by Porcius Festus, Acts 25. Shortly after he arrived, he convened the court and ordered that Paul be brought before him. The Jewish leaders brought many serious charges against Paul, but they could not prove them. Then Paul made his defense. "I have done nothing wrong against the Jewish law or against the temple or against Caesar." And he appealed to appear before Caesar to be tried, which was the right of a Roman citizen. A few days later, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived in Caesarea to pay their respects to the new Roman governor. Festus wanted advice about Paul's case and discussed Paul's case with King Agrippa. Agrippa wanted to hear directly from Paul himself. So King Agrippa and his wife Bernice and the high-ranking military officers and the prominent men of the city of Caesarea went into the audience room of the Roman governor and heard directly from Paul. Acts 26. In defending himself, Paul was able to tell these powerful people the truth about Yeshua. Gospel proclamation was made possible because of the original controversy in Jerusalem, which resulted in Paul's arrest, now more than 2 years earlier. Acts 27. Paul was sent by ship to Rome. He'd appealed to Caesar. To Caesar he was going. On the journey, the people on the ship experienced a terrible, terrible storm. God used Paul to help save the lives of the 276 people on board the ship. And they too were able to hear the gospel because of the controversy in Jerusalem, which resulted in Paul's arrest. Acts 28. The ship crashed on the island of Malta. The Lord used Paul to bring the message about the Messiah to Publius, the chief official of the island, and to many others on the island, because of the original controversy in Jerusalem, which resulted in Paul's arrest. Months later, Paul was put on another ship, which finally arrived in Rome. Paul was allowed to live by himself, with a soldier to guard him. He called together the local Jewish leaders to explain to them why he was in Rome and why he was under arrest. They arranged to meet Paul on another day, and they came in even larger numbers to the place where Paul was staying. He witnessed to them from morning until evening, explaining about the kingdom of God. And from the law of Moses, the Torah, and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Yeshua. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. More controversy resulted because of the original controversy when Paul was arrested in Jerusalem. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Yeshua the Messiah with all boldness and without hindrance, all made possible because of controversy. Every knock is a boost. While he was in Rome, besides teaching people, Paul wrote his prison letters to various churches. Consider this from one of those letters, from the book of Philippians, the letter to the Philippians, chapter 1. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Messiah. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. God uses controversy to strengthen his people, to make them more confident, to dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. God uses controversy to advance the gospel and the kingdom of God. Most Christians today, and most Messianic Jews today, don't want to be controversial. Therefore, they do not share their faith the way they should. They do not proclaim the gospel, the good news about Messiah, the way they should. I want those of us who are part of Congregation Shema Yisrael to be different. I want us to be like Paul. I want us to be like Messiah Yeshua. Let's be willing to be controversial. When we summon the courage to be controversial, we may suffer for it. But let's not allow that to deter us. If we do become controversial and we do suffer for it, how do we cope? We pray. We tell God that we have become controversial, like he told us to be, and that we are suffering for it. And the God of all comfort will comfort us. We look for the support and encouragement of friends and family and our brothers and sisters who hopefully will reach out to us and encourage us. To get that full support, we need to be involved actively in a local congregation that belongs to Messiah. Sadly, too many so-called believers today aren't part of congregations. Sad. Tragic. Foolish. We remind ourselves that suffering is not something strange, something unusual. Suffering is to be expected. And our suffering proves we are genuine disciples of the Messiah. Yeshua said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first." Keep that in mind. "If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also." Suffering is not strange. It is to be expected. It proves that we truly are not part of this world, that we belong to Yeshua. We remind ourselves that the prophets, the greatest of God's servants who came before us, were persecuted and rejected. They will get a great reward, and so will we if we follow in their footsteps. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they insult you, when they reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. That is how their ancestors treated the prophets. This should greatly encourage us and help us endure any suffering we may experience. We should remind ourselves that it is not our name, our reputation, that's important. It is the name of God, the honor of God, the honor of Messiah, the advancement of the gospel that is important. And as we allow ourselves to be controversial and we get some backlash and we endure it, the tougher we get, the stronger we get, the thicker our skin gets, the more water rolls off the duck's back, the better we are able to endure controversy the next time it comes. Let's pray. Lord God, help us understand that every knock really is a boost. That although attacks hurt, they also help. That you use controversy to advance the kingdom of God and advance the gospel. Help us not to compromise in order to avoid controversy, tone things down, be silent, but embrace controversy and rejoice in controversy. Help us to be bold, confident, courageous, controversial for Yeshua. Amen.